Smaveta Bhakta Vrindaki, Nita Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can you bring the Srimad Bhagavatam? So I prefer to have here a few notes. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam vyasam tato jayam udiraye Srimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Kridyantas Tuhyabhadrani Vidunati Sukritsatam Nashta Prayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Urtamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chanda Vega on the City of Puranjana. Last verse, 30. Parajwaro Yamma Bhrata. Tvam cha me bhagini bhava Charami upabhyam loke asmin Abhyakto bhima sainika Parajwaro yam mama bhrata Tvam cha me bhagini bhava Charami ubhavyam lokesmin Abhyakto bhima sainika Parajwaro yam mama bhrata Tvam cha me bhagini bhava Charami ubhavyam lokesmin Avyakto bhima sainika.
Mm-hmm.
Prajwara, name Prajwara. I am this, mama, my, brata, brother, tuam, you, cha, also, me, my, bhagini, sister, bhava, become, charami, I shall go about, ubhabhyam, by both of you. Loke, in the world, asmin, this, abhyakta, without being manifest. Bhima, dangerous, sainika, with soldiers. Translation. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The king of the Yavanas continued, here is my brother Prajwar. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you as well as my dangerous soldiers to act imperceptibly within this world. Purport. Kalakanya was sent by Narada Muni to Yavana Raj so that she might become his wife. But instead of accepting her as his wife, Yavana Raj accepted her as his sister. Those who do not follow the Vedic principles are unrestricted as far as sex life is concerned. Consequently, they sometimes do not hesitate to have sex with their sisters. In this age of Kali, there are many instances of such incest. Although Yavana Raj accepted the request of Narada Muni to show respect to him, he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and Mlechas. The word Prajwarah is very significant, for it means the fever sent by Lord Vishnu. Such a fever is always set at 1 or 7 degrees, the temperature at which a man dies. Thus, the king of the Mlechas and Yavanas requested the daughter of time, Kalakanya, to become his sister. There was no need to ask her to become his wife, for the Yavanas and Mlechas do not make distinctions as far as sex life is concerned. Thus, one may outwardly be a sister, mother, or daughter, and still have sex. Yavana Raj's brother was Prajwara, and Kalakanya was invalidity itself. Combined and estranged by the soldiers of Yavana Raj, namely non-hygienic conditions, illicit sex, and ultimately a higher degree of temperature to bring on death, they would be able to smash the materialistic wave of life. In this connection, it is significant that Narada was immune to the attack of Jara, or invalidity, and similarly, Jara, or the destructive force, cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 27th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Attack by Chandavega on the City of King Puranjana, the character of Kalakanya. ॐ अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य ध्यानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मूकं करोति वाचलं भाङ्गुलाङ्गयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारणम्। पञ्चकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पातितनं भवानेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। The king of the Yavanas continued, "Here is my brother Prajwara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world." So, good morning, everyone. Hare Krishna. So, we are in the ending the chapter. Here, Prabhupada make a point that I will never make the connection. That's why it's very important to have the commentaries. He's pointing that when the king of the Yavanas said, "Now accept you as my sister," to Kalakanya, Prabhupada explained what that means. He's saying that actually he wanted to have illicit sex. So one may wonder. So with Prabhupada said that in Kali Yuga, this is not uncommon. I want to read this sentence. "Consequently, they sometimes do not hesitate to have sex with their sisters. In this age of Kali, there are many instances of such incest. Although Yavana Rash accepted the request of Narad Muni to show respect to him, he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and Malechas." So in our dear Kali Yuga, we are not trained, especially maybe all over the world, but especially in Western countries. And we are considered Malechas, Yavanas, or those who are outside of the Varna Ashram system. Because we are, our society is not following scriptures in order to rule. So we see that all society, the base, the higher peak of a society in history is always when they have, when they were following religious principles. This is when, for example, if we see look at architecture, the best buildings are made in times where we're connected with religion, at least in Western countries. And we can see in India still big temples. But now we use Durlok. There is not much relation between constructions and religions. So in the same way, the best moral and codes of values in a society is when they are connected to scriptures. And the worst is when they are going away from scriptures. Because then, like now we have different, in different countries there are different laws. And some of them are completely opposite, the opposite to the injunctions of scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not in societies where they don't have any scriptures, but finally they start concocting their own values. And this is good and this is not good, like, according to their likes and dislikes. So for instance, according to the mood of nature, there are influence. There is nothing to check that mood of nature. So they will act upon on their desires that are influenced, sometimes by ignorance, sometimes by goodness or passion. But the Bhagavad Gita, even in the Varnagrama system, everyone is engaged according to their nature, but in order to don't act on basis of their likes and dislikes. Instead, acting on the following authority and duty, understanding their duty. What is their duty? So for example, Arjuna, he didn't like to fight, but he was advised to fight anyway, because it is better to perform one's duty imperfectly than perform the duty of others perfectly. Because if we perform the duty of others perfectly, we may be acting according to our lower nature, we don't know, not on the basis of a higher principle, but only because I like or I don't like. So we are just giving freedom to the mood of nature to act on us as they like. So it's not actually our decision, but when we act according to our duty and our scriptures, we have to rise above our likes and dislikes. Therefore, we perform a duty that is according to our nature, but sometimes that duty may become difficult. But then we don't reject the duty, we just act because we have to act only. So in the same way, a society who doesn't know their duties, like who is Yashastra Vidin Utsrija, who is rejecting any bona fide scripture to make a code on values and morals, then acts according to their likes. So for instance, sometimes, for example, abortion will be good, and other times abortion won't be good. Smoking will be nice for some times, and then they won't like for something, and they will prohibit that. But they don't have on basis of universal principles, like the scriptures. So then there is not an impossible thing that in some societies they may see that it's okay to have an illicit relationship with one sister or even one mother, when they don't have nothing to check that. In animal society, there is no such restrictions. We see hogs and dogs, they don't have that restrictions. And if human society don't follow any scriptures, it's going toward Adanta Gobir, Vishatanta Mishram, it's going toward that hellish life of not making any distinction. Narada Muni gave the instruction to the king of the Yavanas that you marry Kalakanya. But he out of respect, he said yes. But how he followed the order was according to his own understanding. So he decided to take her. Ah, so you are just my sister. So there is, I was thinking in a point there that we have to accept, for example, in marriage life, when you marry someone, there is a compromise, a commitment. But when you say, like in nowadays society, we say that she's just my friend, or he's my friend. We are not married. We are just friends. It's like in the same way, you're my sister, but there is not a sense of making if I may have this relationship, I have to make a commitment and do it through Dharma. Instead of that, I can reject that and don't take any responsibility toward that person, and just I can utilize that person without any compromise. It will be called kama. That at one, that Chaitanya Charitamrita defines Almendriya Priti Vancha and Krishnendriya Priti Icha. That the desire to gratify one's own senses is called kama, and the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema. And they gave a definition of something that make help us to understand this difference between kama and lust. Also, the difference between kama and real love between individuals. Said sarvata dvamsa raitam sati api dvamsa karane yadvava bandhanam yunoksa prema parikirtita. If there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, and yet such a dissolution does not take place, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. So if there is a, between two individuals, there is reasons to stop that relationship, but still the relationship is continued, then it is called, it's pure. Otherwise, it's just kama. So in saying that she is just my friend or he's my friend, there is not a compromise. And at any time when my enjoyment will be checked, then I will stop that relationship. In the same way that cancer stopped the relationship with Devaki when there was impediment to his enjoyment. Devaki will be the cause of his death. So, comes immediately try to kill her. In the same way, our relationship in material life, when they are not based on Dharma, then any problem, you can start the relationship. There is nothing to check out. But between men and women, if there is at least a commitment, they have something to strive for besides their likes and dislikes. I don't like you. I don't like you either. So, bye-bye. No, I don't like you. You don't like me, but we make a commitment. So now we are together. So we work. So in all relationship, friendship, everything, when there is higher principles, can be sustained because our duty, I don't like my duty. No, okay, give up. No, I don't like my duty, but it's my duty. Now, I change my mind. But anyway, I already make that commitment, so I have to follow. So in that way, I can make an advancement because at least I'm rising above my lower nature. This is not even still like very spiritual, but still helping us. So these societies or milicias, yavanas, they don't have nothing to check their lower nature. So they just act as animals. Like ahara nidra vaya maitunya cha, just on the sake of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Then dharmena hina, no dharma there. Therefore, they are considered duya pashu, animal of two legs. So you can, a society can be very advanced and have a lot of knowledge of many things and being very nice dressed and very refined in their acts of eating and sleeping, mating and defending. But if they don't have any dharma, any higher principles to strive for, they are considered animals. Because they can, that society can is acting only according to their own nature, likes and dislikes. So it's like carry, like the wind is taking this society to any place. They cannot reach any goal in life, because any time they can change. So sometimes they make peace with another country, for example, a society, militia. But then if that country, it has something that they may like and that country doesn't want to give, like, for example, oil, petroleum, then they will go to attack. And they forget the higher principle, that we have a commitment before something. So that happens in relationship, in everything. So, therefore, that's just the point it came to me was that this act of having her as his sister is based only on sense gratification, the decision, on karma. Prabhupada will take this example, like in previous purport, Prabhupada was analyzing from another point of view, and now he's analyzing from this point of view. So the king of the Yavanas, she just wanted to enjoy from Kalakani. So I think it's very, we are very lucky in having, we're given higher principles in life. So in that way, by learning the yoga, the science of the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also are learning how to relate with each other. Because the same principles that we apply to Krishna, we can apply to his part and parcels. In the sense, I'm not saying that to make a deity of everyone. I'm just saying the principles of having pure relationship without expecting to please our senses, but to please the object, and not place us always as the subject, and we have to be the enjoyer of the relationship. So in that way, we can have relationship that may last forever. I mean, it won't be checked by the time of Kalakanya in the sense of there may come many troubles, but still that relationship, because it's based on higher principles in our society, is based on pleasing Krishna. Then there is always a reason to keep that relationship. It's sometimes what is called unity and diversity. Even because our mind, our body, our intelligence and mind is changing through kala. It's going through different phases. So our point of view also going to different phases, even in Krishna consciousness, are changing. because we start having sometimes we have difference, and sometimes we feel equal with others, individuals, and sometimes we are very aloof from others, and it creates hate toward others when they don't have our same opinion, when we are based on our mind and our senses and body. So when we are young, we like young people. So we like to preach to young people. Then when we are old, we like old people. Like that, when we are a child, we love child. We want to see, I remember I wanted to watch movies of children when I was a child. And then when I was a teenager, I didn't like it. So our likes and dislikes are changing all the time, because the body is going through Kaumara, Yovanam, Jarat. And in the same way, our perceptions. So lust is place in the material body, in the senses, is sit, adhishtanam. Sit in the senses, sit in the intelligence, and in the mind. And that is our enemy, but not in the soul. So therefore Krishna advised Arjuna to strive for transcendental knowledge. So when our duty is based on transcendental knowledge, then the virus of lust cannot check us, cannot check even relationship and nothing in society, cannot enter, because it's based on the soul, in pleasing Krishna. And there is no, it's not going through the different changes of the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. Therefore, we need our intelligence, are the scriptures and the spiritual master. This is what we call intelligence based, or transcendental intelligence, based on the soul. So not all decisions we can take from that side. Minutes. So Narada was immune to the attack of Jara of invalidity, and similarly, Jara or the destructive force cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. So Kalakanya and Prajwara are bringing all the lower qualities, degradation. Which includes illicit sex, non-hygienic conditions. Prabhupada said, combined and estranged by the soldiers of Yavanarash, namely non-hygienic condition, illicit sex, and ultimately a high degree of temperature to bring on death, they would be able to smash the materialistic wave of life. And that is the mercy. That all these materialistic life based on karma, on lust, finally is checked by time and all his soldiers, King Chanda Vega. And finally will create a sense of frustration in one's individual, which may give a chance to take to a spiritual knowledge, like the Avanti Brahmana, for example. Otherwise, for a devotee or pure devotee who is not going through those changes because he is situated on the self, then these soldiers cannot take him, because his character cannot be checked, because it's based on the higher principles of Bhakti Yoga. His senses are directed, no? Hrishikena, are directed toward Krishna, Sevanam. Even his body is changing, he's not identifying, he's not on the platform of the body. So therefore he still can act like Prabhupada was writing books, even in old age. But even if your body is completely check by time. A pure devotee, for him, is he doesn't have any problem. He's just seeing a manifestation of Krishna in that, which is making him to become more attached to Krishna. So my point was that if we base all our decisions and in life on the scriptures, transcendental bhakti shastras, then time and all these soldier like elixir second, everything cannot touch a devotee. Even if they attack the devotee, he will, because he has a center, he can be safe. Finally, he has a way, he has a boat where he can jump and go back again. But if there is no principles of the scripture, even if we try to make life pure, it will never be like that. Always time will destroy that. Like many societies, like our society in the, maybe in the 50s or 40s, still there were more moral like principles, but because they were never were based on real religious principles, now are being checked and is going through hellish condition, all these values. We just look at the history of how people were dressed 4 years ago, and now it's just a question of on how the behaviors and how robbery and many things have been increasing. Even for some time they could keep a nice society, supposedly so-called nice society, but because there is no higher principle, it's changing because the likes of people are changing. Okay, I can stop here.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking that I was thinking about sadhakas. So one of the duties of a sadhaka is to hear very submissively. And I was thinking that sometimes when we're like in a good frame of mind, we can hear very submissively, and sometimes we're not, like you were saying, sometimes we can do it and sometimes we can't, we're not so steady. So it seems that until our conception of who we are changes, our ability to act on the platform of duty will still be kind of difficult, because our conception is still, I am this body, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. So could you speak a little bit about that, about conception of self and acting on the platform of duty?
Conception of what do you mean by self in this context? The soul.
The soul, yeah.
Which is the duty of the soul?
Have the right conception that I am a spirit soul, we won't be able to act always on a platform of duty, or maybe we will. That's what I'm asking. To, because my point is, until that conception changes of who I really am, then our ability to act on the proper platform of duty within devotional life, like hearing submissively, being humble, you know, serving the Vaishnavas, things like that, we may sometimes act very dutifully and sometimes not, because I still think I'm the body, I still think I'm in charge. So I was wondering if you'd say something about that.
Yes, we. But to take it in, like our experience, like we come to Krishna consciousness, and we have so will, desires. So we enter into a training, and then we are being presented duties, like, explain how works. How functions spiritual life, what does it mean to follow an authority like that. But meanwhile, we have all this like revolution in the heart, no, will desires. But there is ways of checking. Like we learn, I think yesterday in the morning, the devotees were talking about culture and education, that spiritual education is meant for culture. So we learn a spiritual culture. And we learn things that will prevent us to externalize our lower self. So we learn certain rules that are easy to follow, that you don't have to be a transcendentalist to follow that. But we in order to perform our duties, we learn how to respect, how to address others. It's called Vaishnava etiquette. So we learn when we enter the temple, we take our shoes like that. When we perform a service, you have to take a shower before performing that service, like that. There are many little rules that everyone can follow. It's just a question of follow, like everyone have experience of working. You go to the work and you say, there is no question of nothing, like that myself, my lower self, my nature, or my, I know on the stage of the soul. They just say, I will pay you like $30,000 and you just have to say hello to everyone and be nice. This is your work. You say, okay, that's my job. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Can I help you? Can I help you? Nice to meet you. No, they are not transcendental, but they are so happy. You go to any like a shopping center and they will be with a big smile. No? Like, yes, so because they understand their duty and because there are money, of course. I mean, what I'm trying to say that it's not difficult. So to perform in a function in a Vaishnava society, for example, that there are things that we just have to follow. There is not even question of asking yourself in the sense of they're trying to be like the, you know, this insect that have 100 legs. How do you call it? Senti? Yeah, that he started analyzing which leg was fair and which leg was next. He will become paralyzed, like Arjuna, no? Paralysis for analysis. So there are certain things that are not very complex, that we just follow, and that gives us room or time or place to work inside. Because we follow this like a bench that will prevent us to commit big offenses like that. We just know, you know, kids, for example, if you enter into who am I, a Madhyama Adhikari, a Kanishta Adhikari, am I an Uttama Adhikari? If I am a Madhyama Adhikari, I have to make distinction among devotees. So you, Himanju, cannot be my friend because you are new to Krishna consciousness. So I have to make friendship with equals. So, but who is equal to me? Let me see. What is the devotee? He's chanting all around like me. So I can make friendship with him. So we'll start analyzing, making a mess in our spiritual life. But just, and if you're a Kanishta also, you will make an analysis on this, on that. But if you just follow the universal principles that are given to you, just be kind to every devotee that you help and serve. And we are not told that it's just to make distinctions in the sense like we may try to understand the scripture, we just try to be kind, and that friendship will come automatically. That Madhyama Adhikari means that it's not a person who is analyzing every devotee. He's advanced, he's not advanced, therefore he can discriminate. He can discriminate because he doesn't have to analyze. That's his discrimination, comes naturally. He knows how to behave with different persons automatically. Like Prabhupada. Prabhupada was talking with a professor in Pennsylvania before starting his movement, and he was talking about trees. Trees. Different type of tree. That was his conversation, like, intimate conversation. It's natural. He knows how to relate with each other, be merciful to those who are lower than him, friendship, without having the same level, like that. So I was trying to say that in the devotional service, and so there are basic things that we just try to follow those basics, and then we can apply other things that will come in the natural way, will come. It's not like I'm questioning if I am doing with devotion the puja or not with devotion, but first I have to do it. There are many things that I can improve just by asking. Like sometimes the other day, Sika Mantari Mataji, she indicated me like I was making a mistake in the puja. So I can maybe ask, oh, I have no devotion for Prabhupada, but first know the order or the puja, how you have to do it. That devotion, you can show it now in that level. It's a following, know how to do properly that, but don't be like inside asking or trying to create. I know when I'm doing the puja, I'm creating a picture of Prabhupada, and I'm going to his feet. No, just do at least the things. And then by following the mercy of the devotee will descend. By pleasing and we other insights will come, like when Prabhupada said in the Upadeshamrita, that if we come to the mood of goodness, which means to follow just the rules that will bring us to the mood of goodness, then everything else will be revealed to how to advance further. How to advance will be revealed. So our instruction for is when we come to Krishna consciousness, just to learn to follow. It may take us many years, you know, but until we cannot come to the mood of goodness, there is no way of advancement. It will be all mental concoction. You know, it have to be like this or like that. Scripture say like this and say like that. But there is no way to apply it. Because first there is a need of following the basic things. And now with this answer a little bit. Sometimes I'm not sure if I'm understanding completely, but okay.
I just had an appreciation of for Srimad Bhagavatam, how it discusses topics that are most unthinkable, immoral, but still it talks about it because the acharyas have identified that in Kali Yuga all kinds of situations are there, and it's so educational. Actually, if we can really read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand it from our heart, then there is solution for every situation. And I don't think any other scripture of different religion actually talks about these kind of topics. I don't know, but Srimad Bhagavatam talks about all kinds of topics, and it's so nice. It's so nice, it's so educational, and it's the essence, truly essence of all other scriptures. So that was the appreciation I had when you were reading the purport. And of course, Srila Prabhupada's purports also. If we didn't have that, it would have been so difficult to understand these things.
Yes, very nice.
Prabhu, I have one question, and there's also an internet question, so maybe I can... Okay, so can I ask my question? So I was wondering, can you speak something about how in devotee relationships it can be easy to see the relationships as far as how can this person serve me, rather than having a mood of service in the relationship? And then if that person that we're having a relationship may not reciprocate the way we want them to, or whatever it may be, then it's easy to become disturbed or something like that. And the reason is because we're not having a proper service attitude within those relationships. So can you speak a little bit about how to have a proper service attitude within relationships, rather than seeing devotees as persons who can gratify our senses.
So don't see the devotees as persons who can gratify our senses.
Yeah, even subtly that can be there. I'm not necessarily meaning in some crazy gross way, but even in a very subtle way that mentality can creep in devotee relationships, that we feel like, oh, you know, subtly this person is here to gratify my senses, emotionally or so many different ways. So I was wondering if you can speak a little bit about that.
Well, there are vanchakalpa, tarubhyascha. We offer obeisances because they are able to please, but not our senses, but to please the goal of life, to help us all desires. But the highest desire of the soul is to go back to God, so the devotees can help us. But we should know the. Also, there are different relationships, so we should know our position in regarding the devotee we may be serving. And don't demand or expect things that they don't have to actually give. For example, there are many type of relationships with devotees. We can have a relationship with senior devotees, or with the spiritual master, or with devotees in the temple, like that. For example, with a spiritual master, it may happen, or with a senior devotee, like they will give us an instruction to, like for example, I was in the group of doing book distribution, so we were doing a lot of collecting like that. So that was our duty as a brahmacharis, no, to bring donations to the temple. But then there were many, with some of us were having a different expectation from our seniors, like demanding, like, I'm giving this, so you have to give me that, like a more like a business. And it can hamper the relationship, because we should know what is the duty of those devotees. So they are giving us service, and we are not forced to perform that service. We are not forced. We can leave at any time. And they are acting on that level. And then according to the personality of those senior devotees, they may have different ways of reciprocate in the external sense. Some may say show more appreciation for the service, or others, they will show in another way the appreciation, like that. But if we have our own way to expect appreciation, we may become despondent in the relationship, because we project our way of, for example, giving appreciation to others, and they have to reciprocate in the same way we may reciprocate. And then it doesn't happen, we feel frustrated. Because, oh, how I did that for him, and it's like he doesn't know what am I doing. So in the same way with other devotees, if we are serving the devotees, we are actually not trying to get something from that service, if in the good sense. If we are doing just as what has to be done, is it nice to serve the devotees? Then there won't be any frustration in the relationship. But we are expecting, I cleaned the clothes of these devotees for 1 month, and they never told me thank you. So now I won't clean anymore. I won't do any more like washing, or no more cook for the devotees, because they don't appreciate. So, but they may be appreciating in another way. We don't know. But it's not our part, or we aren't. Karma niva di karasti. We have a right to serve the devotees. we don't have a right to take the fruit of that service. That's for Krishna. So in the beginning, we see that many devotees, when we come, there are sometimes there are high level of enthusiasm serving devotees, and after some time, they become deception. Like, I was serving the devotees, but now, and they are glorifying the devotees. They're coming like to Krishna consciousness. Oh, everyone is a saint. Oh, I love the devotees like that. Ah, devotees, hey, Prabhu, you are so nice. You should stay here forever, like that. And then go, and then we start seeing the devotees how they act, and then tell Prabhu, when are you leaving? After December. So, and it's increasing because it's just based on an expectation of receiving dancing. So the first thing in groups people need is to be accepted. So they will do all kind of stuff to be accepted. So and that is a material thing that we may use, will help us in Krishna consciousness at the beginning. I may distribute 200 books just to be accepted, to be part of the Vaishnava family. But after a while, I may not be able to keep that going on. Then I have to be mature and see where is my role in the Vaishnava society. Maybe it's a very low profile role, or maybe I'm in a very high profile role. That doesn't matter. I have to know where is my position to fit. But I cannot fit artificially just by doing things that is not for pleasing devotees. It's just to fit in the place and to receive, to demand the love of the devotees in a whimsical way. So I don't know if that help. What I'm trying to say, but just we serve the devotees, and according to our level, there are devotees who have a very they are very advanced, which means that they are very good at serving devotees. And the devotees that still are not very advanced, and they are not very good still at serving devotees. Therefore, when we talk about Kanista like that, we don't have to analyze that, but we can see where we are. Just not analyzing, we know automatically where we are in that sense. So, and then there is another part that we serve. This is like when we come to a natural way, then you find out that I'm not the level you are. So you serve the devotees from that level, and you try to, by the help of senior devotees, your service attitude will improve. And then there is the independent way of doing that. That I will be in this society and I will serve the devotees, but you are not taking really like the principles of association of senior not understanding. So you just serve devotees, and disguise and take all your energy. And because you are demanding something material, then your impetus for serving devotees is also material and also will decrease soon or later. It will be checked out. So in that way, one can serve devotees, but finally love may turn into hate. So we serve one devotee, and because he didn't respond like I wanted, then I start hating that devotee. Like that. So the safest way is to also to follow the basics, no? in serving devotees. At least first following our duty, and if we are having more realizations, we will start seeing different ways of serving devotees, but not expecting. Sometimes you can serve devotees and you will never receive like especially administrators. They will serve devotees, or they may never receive a good feedback. But they are doing their best, and Krishna is seeing that, and mature devotees, they will see that. But therefore, sometimes it's dangerous, but the intention of serving devotees and pleasing them, and not always will be by neophyte devotees, not always will be be seen as service to devotees, because in the neophyte stage, service means one who can please my senses, or how I can please their senses. And service to devotees in a mature stages how to can help that devotee to rise to Krishna consciousness, or how can I just share, but no other expectations. So therefore the sadhus sometimes, like sadhus, they act as our enemies. They look like they are enemies of a person, but they are they are their best friend.
Prabhu, I was also thinking that this Guru and Krishna are the center of any relationship. So when we are acting in a relationship and there's certain interactions and reciprocations happening in a relationship, if it's Guru and Krishna center, then the fruit is, you know, dedicated to Guru and Krishna. So the sense of the idea of enjoyment is not there. It takes a while to get to that standard, but I was thinking, but we should not lose the picture that in any relationship it's Guru and Krishna in the center. If that's not there, then the propensity to enjoy the fruits of that any relationship will be there.
Yes, like that. Then there is no higher. The principle is the principle of Guru. We are acting on basis of pleasing Guru and according to their instructions. So pleasing devotees will be on guidance. Like Sutra Kirti Prabhu, he was asked to go to Mangalarti because he was serving Prabhupada and not going to Mangalarti because he was at that time serving Prabhupada. But the devotee was saying, you should come to Mangalarti, hang out with us. Like to be also Mangalarti, no, we're not asking you to take seven up. Just come to Mangalarti. Like he was serving Prabhupada, sometimes was taking rest at that time or translating, and he has to be there. So Prabhupada, one time he was resting, so the devotees were insisting him. So he decided, okay, I will go to Mangalarti. So he went to Mangalarti, and that pleased the devotees. And they said, he's with us. But Prabhupada immediately called him and said, for you, Mangalarti is Maya. because serving Guru, sometimes serving Guru, how we serve, not so we say, no, I just wanted to please the devotees. No, you please in this way, by serving me. No. They may not understand. They may say, no, you are in Maya, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be mental about that. You just do your service. So I think it's time now to... There's one more question.
There's one here, one online.
Yeah, you are the Kala representative.
I'm Kala representative.
Yes?
I was just wondering, in regards to the subject matter specifically, was talking about this sister was emphasized. So I just kind of having a question. As we... perhaps recover our spiritual identity, the material designations or relationships may not have the same attachment that they used to. And I was wondering just kind of the proper the proper mood in regards to things like family, or particularly we may get the idea of duty. I have a duty to parents, I have a duty to siblings. But that it seems the higher Krishna conscious perspective is that by serving Krishna, all these duties are taken care of. So I'm just curious, because it came up, I was wondering about the duty particularly towards a sister. I have a sister. And I was just wondering, from a Krishna conscious perspective, it's that how to consider that
the duty.
If there is such thing, or if how devotees might exist in that relationship.
Well, we can take example from to look how our senior devotees behave. We know if we are completely surrendered to Krishna, there is no duty to no one except Krishna, and we fulfill all our duties toward others. But another way to look also is that a devotee who is advancing is kind to every living entity. So what to speak of person who are somehow you have a relationship previously. So for example, Prabhupada is a pure devotee, we can say, but he also is giving an example. His sister, he was somehow or other taking care by giving association still to his sister. He wasn't rejecting, like, no, this is for my family. I'm a sannyas, I'm a pure devotee, I don't have nothing to do with family. Oh, he cared. He said, we don't know, I'm not analyzing the feelings, just saying the facts. He also made sure that some money went to his family for an apartment. It's in the Transcendental Diary of Srila Prabhupada. I'm not saying he's feeling there. I know there is another reasons why he did that. But I mean, he didn't neglect his family members in the sense on the basis of the scriptures, like putting the scripture as an excuse. And he was just acting as a person. So I think for me, the best advice from our senior devotees just to, regarding family, just to act as a person who is following the principle of Krishna consciousness. And instead of seeing them just as a family member, just seeing them as person that you care for. Somehow or other were put to Krishna, and you have a relationship. As we have relationship with other people, we may be preaching. So we also try to give some Krishna consciousness in some way, and that's the duty, because while we are kind to new guests, and then we will be unkind to our sister, in a sense. But that's, I was advised to keep in the level, just to try. And if they reject Krishna consciousness, then I will also, my relationship will be also not be too close. It will be only on the basis of duty. Just. But if they are receptive, it will be nice to cultivate that relationship because it can help us also in Krishna consciousness. Yes? Of course, we will follow the instruction of the Bhagavatam when we interact with our sister, because there are big advice.
So this is a question from Ankit Vora.
Hare Krishna.
His question is, what happens to a devotee who leaves his body remembering a living, live, pure devotee? I mean, does that devotee go back to Godhead, or one has to remember Krishna at the time of death to go back?
A pure devotee, he's remembering a pure devotee? That's the question. Who is alive? Yeah. There is no difference in the sense if he's attached to a pure devotee, then it's the same quality of thinking of Krishna. Because we have the, but something like that was asked to Prabhupada. And he said it was okay. If you cannot think of Krishna, you think in the spiritual master, he will take you. Actually, it's a very nice way. Prahlad Maharaj is, when he's gone in front of Nrisimhadev, he's remembering his spiritual master, which is a pure devotee. Even Dhruva Maharaj, before going back to Godhead, is remembering his Pradarshaka Guru. Parma Pradarshaka Guru, his mother. He's not just thinking, he's going to Krishna, but he's attached to the, like Prahlad Maharaj, he can go with Nrisimhadev and forget completely about his guru. So in the same way, if we are leaving our body, it may be also expected that we may think in our spiritual master, because we develop a relationship with the spiritual master that will help us to have a relationship with Krishna. He's the merciful person that will tolerate all our lack of devotion and take the best. But the spiritual master doesn't want Krishna to be the person who will suffer in that relationship. So he's in between. And he's placing himself so that the offenses won't be toward Krishna. And he's helping, his spiritual master, the pure devotee, is helping us to relate with Krishna through his relationship, by his instructions, by giving us service like that. So this is our connection, and in the time of death, we think in that in the spiritual master, in the pure devotee. It will automatically make us think of Krishna. It's like, no, they are not different. Like to think of the light of the sun and not in the planet sun. It's something like trying to make a bridge. So if we, like Prabhupada, our movement is called Hare Krishna movement, not Prabhupada movement. But devotees, they love Prabhupada. They love to hear pastime of Prabhupada. When they were seeing Prabhupada, they were chanting Hare Krishna automatically. Automatically. And if we see a pure devotee, automatically we will be chanting Hare Krishna, doing kirtan like that. So if you remember a pure devotee at the time of death, you remember Krishna. Because a pure devotee is a pure devotee because it's a devotee of Krishna. So that's my answer. Hare Krishna. Yeah. It's from the internet. You have it's an announcement. Okay, I will finish the class and you can make the announcement. Rantara Srimad Bhagavat.